That will start from being Israel's hero who used to stride through the crowded market. And David felt the pat on the back because everybody recognized him as a national hero. But now he is the most wanted man in Israel. He had to ducking down the back alley and fearing that some sharp knife stabbing in the back. So instead of pat on the back, he was fearing knife attack on his back. So where could he go? His house, probably under the surveillance by the Saul's men. And many in Israel knew him by sight. Even the Philistine knew him. Lonely and disillusioned, David crawled into the one place where he can find a little bit of comfort. Cave. Cave of Adullam. After Operation Spiritual Crutch Removal by God, you remember God was systematically removing his crutch, emotional crutch, physical crutch. And David started new life in the wilderness. Whenever you see the wilderness in the Bible, what do you link that? Trial and what else would you think? Suffering?
Yes.
That's the one I was looking for. Preparation, training. Let me make an example. Moses. He had everything in Egypt, did he not?
Yes.
He had everything. He was the crown prince of Egypt. He's going to be the next pharaoh. And from that, he killed somebody. He killed the Egyptian. He had to run for his life, end up in the wilderness of Sinai. For how long? 4 days?
40 years.
40 years he was in Egypt, and 40 years he was in the Sinai desert with a bunch of woolies. And then he went back to Egypt and led the people out in the wilderness again for how long?
40 years.
Another 40 years. So Moses lived 120 years. His life can be divided in neat three ways. As a prince, crown prince in Egypt for 40 years. As a shepherd who did not even have his own sheep, his father-in-law's father's sheep, and for 40 years. And then leader of the Exodus for 40 years. How about this? David. He's in the wilderness for 20 long years, being chased by King Saul like a dog. During that time, God was shaping him to be a king. Before Jesus started his ministry, where did he go? Same, wilderness. For how long? For how long? 40 days and 40 nights. One more person, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. Paul. Before he went up to the Jerusalem, the Lord took him to the Saudi desert. For how long? Anyone?
3 years.
That's equivalent time as the other disciples. Disciples, 11 disciples, had Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus personally taught Paul this now. For 3 years in Saudi desert. It's kind of take when the Lord puts you through trials, he isolates you. And you cannot depend on anyone except him. So you can solely rely on him. And when he has a full attention from you, and that's the time he speaks to you. When we have a lapse, when we are on the lapse of luxury, we don't listen to him, do we? I don't know about you. I don't listen to him. I'm too busy. Sometimes he takes away everything from me so I can concentrate on him. Do I want to go through that trial again? No. If you do, you're not. You're glutton for punishment. But I would not trade that time I had with the Lord with anybody or for anything.
Question.
Yeah.
From
For example, the number three in the Bible signifies the perfection or the God. And number seven represents perfection. Number six represents imperfection. And you may say, well, where do you find that? 6 days. And he created human. Guess what? We are imperfect, in case you haven't noticed. Look at your husband.
Well, my question is, are we not going out to
And 40 days, 40, always connect with the trials and training. Trial and training. All right. With that said, let's stop and pray. Father, you set 20 years of David's life aside to train him. And he received your training with a glad heart. Father, we are asking you, whenever we face your personal tutoring, let us not waste the time. Because you are mighty God, all-knowing God, who have the best things for us in your mind. Father, we are asking you to speak to us tonight. Through the trials and test time of the King David, we may learn the precious spiritual jewels and the truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me put it this way. The time when we asking God to change the circumstance, God is using that time to change us. Let me say one more time. It's very important. A lot of times when we go through the trials and tests, we don't like that time, so we ask God to change that time. But that's the time God is using that time to change us. So when you go through that trial and test, during that time, I call it God's woodshed. Have you been in a woodshed before? It wasn't a pleasant time, was it? It's better for you to ask God, what do you want me to learn, than asking him why. All right, verse 1 of chapter 22, please. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Stop there, please. All right, what's your interpretation for this? Come on, guys, I gave you a cheat sheet. Oh, you poor thing. If you have an email, I would give it to you.
When the world is pushing in on mm-hmm. place and stuff.
Good.
Family is always there for you.
There we get what we go to the Father.
Okay. Family is always there for you. Yeah. Sounds good, but that's not always true, though.
Truth family is always.
Good. Family's Wayne, do you have an email address? Or you've been receiving?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't remember. I live near Green Valley. Yeah. All right, one more. What else do you see here?
Place to hide.
Go dig deeper. Note what he has. David started as he ended up in the cave. And what happened? Okay. So use that to come up with something. That's what I'm pushing. Not from your point of view, what's the benefit for others? Yes? Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So how
did they sent an email.
They read theirs.
Yeah, texting.
And the second thing,
how did he hear? Maybe he asked somebody to go to my home and tell my family that I'm here, somebody whom he could trust. I don't know. It's God. The Bible does not mention, so I cannot guess. I'm not going to go there further. But he was. What was the question again? Okay. Okay. And then your comment was.
My comment, God sent them.
Obviously, at the same time, do you think his family was persecuted by King Saul? Yeah. So why not get out of that dodge? Get out of Dodge and go somewhere where he's not gonna. They are not gonna bother him, bother them. I'm sorry. Well, tethered. Yeah. Comforting others requires the one who went through the same kind of situation. I'm going to repeat this thing over and over and over, and I will finish this thing with that. Let me say one more time. Comforting others requires the one who went through the same kinds of difficulty. Put that in the back of your mind, please. And keep your finger there and go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. We are not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to read it. It's not that long. But I just want you to look at what it says right below the Psalm 142. It says a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was what?
In the cave.
What kind of cave would that be? Cave of the Adullam.
Does Adullam have a significance?
It's just location. Adullam? Yes,
yeah.
It does. We'll find out. I'll talk about it. This is the beginning of the David's Flintstone Yabba Dabba Doo cave dwelling community. And not only himself, but now he has whole family showed up. How many brothers did he have? 12? All right. Do I hear 5? Do I hear 11? Do I hear 16? Come on. How many? 5? Okay. Going once? Seven more, yeah. 8 sons. Yeah, he's the last one. By the way, the meaning of Adullam is refuge. What an appropriate name for these people to find the refuge. Go to Psalm 57, please. Psalm 57. To the chief musician said to do not destroy Michum of the David when he fled from Saul into cave. This psalm shows a David with a humble heart in verse 1 and prayerful heart in verse 2 and realistic heart in verse 4 and 6 and a heart of trusting praise to the Lord in 5, 9, and 11. Jot this thing down and so you can remember. Starting with a humble heart, prayerful heart, realistic heart, and he finished with a trusting heart. Do you need a pen, James? Okay. Another thing, can I change the slide? Hiding place is a valuable and can provide the short rest we need to face the world again. However, we complicate our troubles when we become a cave dweller and barricading the entrance to our lives, not let anyone come inside. Some people go through a difficult time. And while they are going through a difficult time, they pretty much shut themselves in. Have you ever seen those people? Mm-hmm. And they become permanently depressed, permanently upset, and they don't want to deal with this. Their situation, it makes the matter worse than before. Let's not be one of those people who barricading ourselves at the entrance of our life. God brought his family who didn't think much of him at the beginning to him. David became the leader of the family now. As we study in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and later in 1st and 2nd King and the 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you will read how his brothers became mighty captains of the leader, his army. And they were taking his orders. And after all, he was their king. How it's neat that the Lord changed their heart. Verse 2, please. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontent gathered to him. So he became the captain over them. There were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Verse 5, now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. And so David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. All right, what do you have for me? No, it's in the Moab. Probably open, wide open field. And probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a walled city. Or at least outside the walled city.
David gets fighting.
Huh?
The dregs of society.
What's
you know,
that?
Or the downtrodden.
Mm-hmm.
Come follow him. Just like.
Good point. Good. What else? Excellent. Excellent. And look around. Look around, right? That's us. Motley Crue's. Motley Crue. None of you, the Apostle Paul said, none of you are, I'm paraphrasing, upper class echelon. And none of you are the smart. But God used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? Don't ever think that you had a good time before. You didn't. Yeah. You might have had a good time physically or maybe even emotionally. But spiritually, you were in the muck and mire. I was in the muck and mire. We were in the trench. Dead. Yes. Leading the people who have distress is not easy without Christ. But with Christ, we can instill the godly character in their lives. Because when we lead people, I don't know about you, because once the people know that I'm a pastor, they start to, you know, they try to behave themselves in front of me. All of a sudden they just, excuse my French, it's like, why always a French? And that's the time, that's an opportune time for us to show our true heart. The heart that God has given to us. Following the Lord without the future, without knowing future can be difficult. Remember, why am I saying that? Because verse 5, go back there. Now the prophet Gad, we will hear his name again, said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Stronghold of where? Moab. The land of Moab. Depart and go to the land of Judah. Who is waiting for him in Judah? In other words, hey, get out of this comfort zone. Go to the where you're going to get chased again. Yeah. Don't worry about your unknowing future. Because you can depend on the all-knowing God. Amen? All right. As David sought refuge in the craft of the God's mighty mountain and the place of Moab, not his people, God brought the people to him. And with this people came challenge and renewed the courage for David. David is no longer a single person who running around. Now he has a 400 men plus what? Their families. You're talking about between 1,600 to 2,000 people. Do you think that's a small people to move around? Just think about the logistics itself. Who's going to carry the water? Who's going to carry the wood to cook food? And who's going to carry food? Where are they going to find them? And who's going to provide them? The Lord, right? In David's darkest hour, the Lord gave him a ministry of helping men like him who has been worn down by injustice. Their spirit could easily have discouraged, demanding calls for the violent revolution, but David kept his eyes on the Lord and instilled the character and the direction in their lives. David trained them to be mighty warriors, and their number increased from the 400 to 600 men in the near future. Just keep that in the back of your mind. His numbers continues growing. Think about it. Think about these people. What a group, right? Bunch of social outcasts. The Lord brought many people around him who were malcontenters, troublemakers, the one whom nobody wants. They were the type of people you would find in the post office with the front view and side view when they're holding the number. And that was fine with the David. In the later days, these people turned out to be the poster boy of the Israel army. And he became a mighty man of valor under the leadership of David. This man in distress, these men were in distress like we were without Christ, because we had no hope. These men were in debt like we were without Christ, because we were under the debt of guilt, unholiness, and unrighteousness. These men were discontent like we were without Christ, because we could not find satisfaction in anything around us. I was looking at some of the photos during my break. The life in Dubai. Any of you know the country Dubai? They have so much cash, so much money. The tallest building is not in the United States. Do you know that? It's not in Hong Kong. It's in Dubai. And all these Hollywood big movie makers, if they want to get the fancy things done, they all go to Dubai. Because finding Ferrari is dime a dozen. Mercedes-Benz is considered as like a Yugo. If you have a Yugo, probably you can sell it for high dollars there because it's rare kinds. You know what the Yugo is? Yeah, it was a really bad car. Really bad car.
Said there was only one car ever made that was worse than a Yugo.
Which one was it? Mirage?
No. Russian Trabant.
What's that?
Let's put it this way. It had a history of blowing up.
Well, I don't remember the one car that it was made by Russia, but made with a cardboard box. Really? I learned that when we were in Bulgaria. They told me the car door and the whole body was made out of cardboard wax.
Not very well.
They didn't survive very well. David became a type of Christ. Let me say one more time. David became a type of Christ, captain of our salvation. Jesus took us in and wrote our name in his book of life, also known as the Lamb's Book of Life, right? We now have hope in Christ. We are content in Christ, and we are called to be holy and righteous in Christ by his blood. Gary mentioned this verse. Keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 11:28. Many of you guys know this by heart. 11:28. Come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find the rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. All right, the region of Moab was located east of the Dead Sea. The answer is already there. I pulled up to fit. David is a lineage of the Ruth. Ruth was Moab. She was a Moabite, and she was a great grandmother of David, and she came from Moab. May I change the slide? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Along with his family, God gave David a mission ministering to a group of the fugitives like himself. Counselors said that helping people in the same situation is one of the best healing therapies. Cancer patients find a new reason to live by reaching out to the other cancer patients. Alcoholic, the strength to stay sober by helping other recovering alcoholics. And victim of abuse, hope to endure by ministering to the other victim of abuse. Because my volunteer job before, being a chaplain, I came across a lot of people who have the PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Sometimes they can be the veteran, or sometimes it can be just police officer or sheriff deputies. I look at it this way. The reason why they have PTSD, they experienced traumatic situation. But when they start to talk about it, it's like, you know, the steam cooker, right? There's one common denominator of all the steam cooker. There's a little valve. If you don't let the valve open, that steam cooker will explode. And that valve cannot be opened unless that person inside choose to open. That's one thing I learned from the people. A lot of times, they bottle up and they go to the wrong direction. Whether you believe or not, we have 22 veterans die, commit suicide a day. We didn't have our soldier die 22 a day in the battlefield. When they come home, they bottle up, they drink, they do drugs, and especially during the Obama administration, when they went to the VA, they could get the narcotic like nothing, like a candy. And that just make the people worse. They become a drug addict. People who went through PTSD can help another people with the PTSD because they know what it's like. Gad, Prophet Gad counseled David to leave his stronghold and go back to the very stronghold of Saul. Close enough, right? This probably was not what David wanted to hear. But that's what the Lord wanted him to do, and David obeyed without argument. See, God strengthened David's faith, wisdom, and courage, and he was preparing for the kingdom. Go down to verse 6, please. It's going to be long reading. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him have been discovered, now Saul staying in Gibeah, under the tamarisk tree in Ramah, with his spear in his hand, all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servant, who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamite, will the son of Jesse give every one of you the field and vineyard, and make you all captains of thousands, captains of a hundred? All of you have conspired against me. There is no one who revealed to me that my son had made a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is not a one of you who is sorry for me or revealed to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day. Then he and answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servant of Saul, and said, "Now I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provision, and gave him the sword of Goliath of the Philistine." So the king called Ahimelech, the priest, and the son of Ahitub. And all his father's house and the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, you son of Ahitub." He answered, "Here I am, my lord." Then Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given the bread and the sword and have inquired of God for him? And he stood rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day. So Ahimelech answered the king and said, "Who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law? Who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house? Did I not begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father. for your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much. And king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house. Then king said to the guards who stood about him, turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And because they knew when he fled, they did not tell it to me. But the servant of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priest of the Lord. And king said to Doeg, you turn and kill the priest. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest, and killed on that day 85 men who wore the linen apart. Also Nob, the city of priests, he struck the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nursing infant, oxen, donkeys, and sheep with the edge of the sword. Talk about massive destruction. Okay, give me your interpretation, please. Remember, interpretation, not observation.
Paranoia.
Okay, give me the interpretation. That's the observation. Yes, Anna.
So when a person is feeling very blame someone else for the same thing, you're crazy. So
think that the last portion, it make you
crazy.
Why? No, not crazy. No. It make your guilty, try to ease your guilty conscience. Usually the people who are in sin and rebellion against God, they blame the godly people. All right, what else?
Well, it just, you know, the spirit has left the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And an evil spirit. And it just shows you how far, you know, without God you
can. Good. Okay. Gary?
I think we've all experienced it.
Sounds like an Eeyore.
Yeah.
Kitty party.
It's my birthday. Nobody loves me. Good. Yes, Roger? You're going to say something? Your mouth is moving without sound.
I'm pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I just, what he commanded to do and what happened in town. Basically, that was it. But go back to 15, verse 9, when he was commanded by God to destroy and totally everything, and yet he did.
I'm very proud of you.
Wow,
I'm impressed. Give him a pat on his back. Did you hear that? Teacher's pat. I'm sorry, say it again. Mm-hmm. Even to his own people. Yeah. As Wayne said, paranoia. And once a person starts to come up with a thought of paranoia, then there's no limit. Especially when the person is ungodly, there's no limit, really. Like a Doeg, he went to, I wouldn't be surprised, he led a platoon of the soldiers with him to the Nob, the town of Nob. I cannot imagine killing nursing infant. But then again, we are doing it millions at a time in a year. Under the name of it's a woman's right, reproductive right. Let's not get into that.
Is there how God allowing or at least letting Saul do his command? Samuel comes up and now the kingdom is torn, disobeyed. Here, since to that,
this world is filled with the evil. Why would he not stop those people who committing abortion? Why did he not stop rapists? Or Hitler killed the 6 million Jews and Stalin and the Mao Zedong, between them 20 million people.
Yeah.
What did the baby do wrong to? Against the Mao Zedong and the Stalin. They were bloodthirsty people. Yes, Anna?
Satan.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Well.
not quite, but it's a, he for sure he's a demon. He was possessed by the demons.
So the priests of the Lord. He doesn't even just say, he says, kill the priests of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's some real.
Yep. Exactly.
Because I believe I read somewhere that if a lot of times they God would have, would for rebellion or.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically, I mean, he wasted up something that God would do. Man himself.
Yeah. Remember what I said? The root of the all sin is what?
Pride.
Pride. Yeah. It was just David who was hiding from Saul, but he could hide somewhere for a long time. But where could he hide 400 men plus family? So like I said, 1,600 people moving around. And Saul's network of informants quickly discovered where he was. At the beginning of this, what we just read, we see King Saul sitting with what in his hand? Whenever we see him with a spear, somebody get nailed, right? He tried to cross his point. Now Saul is going to play the smallest violin. Wine, right? Poor me. And he was doing that thing. We saw Doeg in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and the last chapter. Doeg is the type of person who will do anything. He is an opportunist. He will do anything to get to be known. He's an ambitious guy, over jealous guy, and he would promote himself. Doeg was not a Jew. He was an Edomite who did not hesitate to murder priest and his family. Saul thought of himself as a victim. If you notice, all paranoid people, they all consider themselves victim. Another thing that I learned is majority prison inmates think exactly like that. You know that. Because he was a prison guard for a long time. And every one of them, just about every one of them said that they were innocent, they've been pushed to death, and they're the victim of a circumstance. And I told them during my prison ministry, as long as you have a mindset that you are the victim of the crime you committed, that means you haven't repented of your sin. One guy, out of all the inmates I came across, one guy said, I deserve to be here. It was a refreshing. Yeah. And he murdered somebody, and he was a, for change, he was a nice guy. Huh? So in other words, King Saul was a typical self-made, he had a self-made victim's mentality. Any man in the place of sin and rebellion Saul was in cannot stand to see the innocent and guiltless man like Ahimelech who was not in the agreement with him. So he commanded him to be murdered. Saul's murderous order was an effort to eliminate his guilty conscience. Agree? This command shows that Saul was going farther and farther away from the Lord. As Roger mentioned in 1 Samuel 15:9, he was reluctant to kill the king whom he was reluctant to kill the enemy of the Lord. But now he is willing to kill the priest of the Lord in cold blood. His anger was bent against the Lord himself for taking away his kingdom and giving it to another. So because he could not come at the Lord, therefore he would murder God's priest instead. Wayne asked me this question, what about the people who are dying? God is in it? No, God is not in it. God made a perfect world. Guess who screwed up? We did. Not just Adam. If you were in the paradise, you would do it. If I was in the paradise, I would have done it. Exact same thing. So my point is, it's not God made perfect, but the human screwed up, and we are the one getting the end result of our own sin. Go down to verse 20, please. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, he's named Abiathar. By the way, did you notice their name all start with an A?
Yeah.
Kind of like Edelman's family. Al Edelman married to the Angela Edelman, so they came up with the Aslan and Ava, Angel, Olivia, with an A, and Adessa. Pretty soon they're going to run out of names with an A. So what is your interpretation? I'm sorry. Let's read. Verse 21. Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that when the Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the servants of your house, father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seek my life seek your life, but with me you shall be safe. All right, give me your interpretation. What caused the death of these people?
Well, David's thinking because Saul was mad. Saul thought that hid from him. David feels.
Okay, with that in mind, I want you to come up with the interpretation. You guys have studied, right? What did David told Ahimelech? Remember what he said to the priest? Was there a truth? Okay. Now I'm giving you way too much clue, but take it from there. Huh?
Snowballs.
Okay. So can you say deception bring consequences? Whether it's a small lie or big lie. There is the interpretation. All right, David showed how he felt about this in Psalm 52. Let's go to Psalm 52. We'll just read it. You there yet? It's right after 51. Yes, I am Mr. Captain Obvious. To the chief musician, the contemplation of the David, when the Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul, said to him that David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Verse 1, why do boast in evil, O mighty man? Goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying way rather than the speaking righteousness. Selah. Okay, by the way, we have a place called Selah outside in the foyer, right? Do you know the meaning of it? Close. Pause. Rest is the same thing. Pause. Stop. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue, and God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trust in the abundance of his riches and strengthen himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saint, I will wait on your name, for it is good. David showed how much how he felt about this in Psalm 52, which is the self-titled there. And in verse 1 and 2 and 4, David shows his outrage against Doeg. In verse 5, David shows his confidence in God's judgment. In verse 8 and 9, David shows his focus on the Lord. Make sense? Yes, ma'am. Yes? Doeg. The difference between Doeg and David, probably David repented. Doeg has not. So I believe that this is talking about Doeg.
I know it's off the subject. These are Psalms David after he became.
Mm-hmm. Or the, during the time while he was running from King Saul.
Wilderness?
Yeah.
Could you remember so?
Because
so
he didn't
years.
Live near Green Valley. Let me put it this way. I know a few musicians, like a friend, Al Edelman. I've known him for a long time. There are times when the song tune comes up. They make a note. If they can write a music note, they do. And or nowadays they can record it into the iPhone or the one of those MP3 players. Or like when I think a lot of things in the awkward place. While I'm taking a shower, I think about this explanation. And I'm just hoping that I hope I don't forget it. Actually, I didn't forget that one. And the thought comes, when you become a pastor, your mind focuses on God's word. While you study, the things come to your heart. Don't wait until later time. Pull over. If you're driving, pull over, write them down. You have no idea how many times I've done that. David realized that his presence and the lie to Ahimelech cost them their lives. Abiathar, this guy, the son of Ahimelech, descendant of, do you know he's a descendant of a high priest Eli? Remember him? What did God told Eli? Any of you remember? Yeah. Let's go to First Samuel, at the beginning. That would be chapter 2, verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear the ephod before me? Did I not give the house of your father all the offering of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick my sacrifice, my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of the all offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever, but now the Lord says, far be from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, days are coming that I will cut off your arms and the arms of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see the enemy in my dwelling place despise all the good which God does in Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And any of your men whom I did not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be the sign that it will come upon your two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build a sure house. He shall walk before my own anointed one forever. And it shall come to pass, everyone who has left in your house shall come and bow down to him and for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread. Say, please put me in the priestly position that I may eat a piece of bread. Stop there. Anyway, Abiathar, he came. He was the only survivor of Ahimelech. And he came to David, so he became a kind of private chaplain for now. And once King David became a king, he became the high priest. But he had to screw up. After the king, David, there was a power struggles, if you remember. Adonijah is trying to grab a power, the kingship, the throne. But who was appointed to be a king by King David? Solomon. When Solomon found out that Abiathar was siding with Adonijah, that's the time when King Solomon told Abiathar, go back to your land, do not come. You will no longer be priest. So the prophecy of the Eli came true. No longer from that family line, the priest, none of them became a priest. Just side note. David take the Abiathar into his renegade group. Jesus took us into his protection. We would be safe in his hand. Did I go too fast? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. John chapter 10, verse 28. I will give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one can take you out of God's hand. We are not going to debate whether eternal security can be lost or cannot be lost. That's dumbest argument that we can have. Three applications. Before I come up with the applications. You come up with the application. What is your application? Don't look at mine. Come on.
Be careful what you
say. Good. Okay. Good one. You're talking about deception that David caused. All right. Good. Okay. Let's go to the different direction. That's not the only application we can find. What else? Yes, Gary.
Oh, Lord.
Good. Wayne has something?
No.
Not yet? Okay. Keep on thinking.
Sorry.
Keep on thinking. You're not going home until you come up with one.
I'll be taking a sack lunch.
Good. Okay. Let me give you a hint for the good application you can come up with. Remember the 400 people came and the 400 people and their family came? How did David work with them? How did he work with them? Think about it. There's a tons of application for that one. Yes? Yeah, he is in that situation, isn't he?
I'm focusing on God and whatever it is. I'm suffering this much. I'm being prepared for it.
Yes. 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 A lot of times when you console somebody, you don't even have to say. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Giving them shoulder to cry on, giving them ears to listen, and they will think that you are the best counselor. Yes, Ben? Application? Good.
Be open to all those.
Be open to all those, the Lord. One, our actions have consequence. Two, as far as his men or that went to or came to, I don't know why, but I just...
Good. Okay, now you can go home.
Marine Corps said he's got a bunch of...
And with a knife hand, remember?
Yeah. But with the way he is, what God's doing with him, the course is preparing him for being the king. Start with a small group and it just...
Good. Here are my applications. Number one, I already said this. Hiding place is valuable. Can provide a short rest that we need to face the world again. However, we complicate our troubles. Notice what I said. We complicate our troubles when we become a cave dweller, barricading the entrance to our lives and not letting anyone inside. Second application I came up with, the things God tells us to do may not make sense for us now, but we need to trust him and follow him. Where did I come up with that idea? Remember Prophet Gad said, leave this stronghold, go into this very stronghold of Saul. Because God knows best, and this is the part of faith in Him, how He works. Third application I have. Along with his family, God gave David a mission ministering group of a fugitive like himself. Counselor says helping people in the same situation is one of the best healing therapies. Long ago, but almost 20 years ago, I said this to you guys. I did not know how to love my woman. I was an idiot. I was faithful to Karen, but I was just did not know how to love. The Lord taught me how to love my woman. Because we went through that marital issue, the Lord brought many people to us who were going through marital issue. We couldn't minister to them. And when the guy said, I'm going through this kind of thing, and I said, I know, I've been there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. If you close the Bible, hey, get too bad, open it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. You there?
Yes.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may, get this guys, we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by whom?
God.
Amen? All right, let's stand up and pray.